We will now convene a city council study session. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Egan. Well done. Okay. Thank you very much. Again, just for the record, council members Glover and Summers are excused. The first item on the agenda for the for the city council study session is a review of the agenda for the December 8th council meeting. I know we do have a few items on the December 8th council meeting that are of interest. So why don't we actually go through the page by page. It looks like first page 2 and 3, everything is on the consent agenda. If staff or council sees anything on the consent agenda you'd like us to discuss, please let me know.
Mayor, when you get through the agenda, we would like to present to council on items 5B and 5D. We're prepared to make presentations on those two.
Okay. 5B and 5D. D. Okay. Great. I see both of those items are on the consent agenda. Looking at pages 4 and 5, everything on the consent. 6 and 7, again, everything on the consent. All right.
The page number, so
oh, I'm sorry.
The item number 7,
I will talk a little slower. Okay. Sorry. Looks like a lot of good stuff. I do see the. Do we want to talk? Do we want to talk about the banking services contract, or are we okay with that? I know we could.
Why don't we do that? It might be that we don't do this very often.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had the sort of pleasure to chair the Audit and Finance Committee since we had some changes on the council.
We could talk about the process and what it means.
My understanding is that we're saving quite a bit of money by.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be good to talk about it just because it's a big win for the city. I think it's really cool to see the innovation that took place there.
Mayor, council members, I'm excited to bring this item to you guys. We have one of our representatives from J.P. Morgan here with us today as well. This has been over a year-long process where we've gone out to bid for these banking services, these four banking services, as a matter of fact. The general banking services, the merchant card processing, the P card, the purchasing card, and also the custodial safekeeping of our assets for our investments. We hired a firm, PFM, to help us develop the RFP and look at the proposals and score them. We also invited local bankers, James Christensen from Gateway, to work with us in evaluating the proposals as well. And the new contracts, like was mentioned before, are going to save us approximately $373,000 compared to our old contracts, given our current volume. So it's definitely a big win for us. And in fact, I think we're getting better services as well. Technology has improved, and we've been offered new websites and whatnot. So we're excited to present this to council today and to have your approval Monday. So
great.
Kind of glossed over real quick that savings number. You want to hit that again real quick?
Yeah, so for a 5-year term, it's about 373 estimated on current volumes every year. So it's, you times that by 5, it's a big number. So we're very excited about that.
And that's just going out and testing the market. So, I mean, that's
Yes.
Good. Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, we have some new banks that we're doing business with that we had in the past.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. We have, for our custodial, we're going to use Wells Fargo was the highest scoring proposal. And for our merchant card processing, U.S. Bank or Elavon, their subsidiary, is the highest scoring proposal. So with those are going to be our two changes we're going to have to make here in the city if it's approved by council.
Is there a cost associated with some of the switches that we'll have to make? I mean, do they help facilitate that? Or
yeah, so it was part of our scoring process, the transition, if needed. And so we built that in. And the custodial assets will be very easy. The merchant processing will take a little more time, but it shouldn't be too onerous or costly.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Well, again, thank you very much for your good work. We can use the extra $373,000 each year, so let's go out and bid some more stuff and save some more money. Thanks again.
Thank you.
So that was agenda item 4C, and I assume everyone's okay to leave that on the consent agenda. Moving on. Again, just more contracts that are being renewed. Page 6 and 7. Yes, Mr. Richens.
Maybe we should have somebody do a little presentation on 4K, the replacement for Tidemark. This is a pretty big deal. We've had that system here as long as I've been here, and this is, I think, a fairly significant change, and there's some new functionalities that are part of it that I'd love to hear about.
Okay, I'm
Plus,
Christine.
Plus, we just love to see Christine Salonka's face. So.
Who wouldn't?
I have Ed Queens here with me.
Sorry.
Councilmember Richens, you're right. This is really quite a major undertaking. This is just the contract to replace our Tidemark permitting system. It's funded by a technology fee, which we instituted back in 2007. That's a 4% up to a maximum of $800 on every permit that we issue in both planning and in the building area. So it's actually the development community that's been paying for this, and they'll have the direct benefit of it. We expect we'll be able to pay for all of it with the technology fee. Tidemark is very old, outdated technology. It's minimally customer service friendly. It's difficult to use. It's not very transparent, particularly to our external customers. So that'll be a huge improvement. It really is an enterprise solution. So it's not only development, sustainability, engineering, water resources, transportation, they all have a piece of the development process. So it will include all of those departments. One of the second big things that this is going to do, and we've been really working on this and our customers have been asking for several years, is electronic plan review. Currently, if you've got a development project, you spend a lot of money printing off hard copies, bringing them down to the city. We pass them around. So this will allow electronic submittal of plans, electronic review in-house, coordination with architects and engineers that will never ever have to come down and actually sit down and talk with us. The third thing, which will probably be a wonderful thing, the third piece of it that actually is new, and I'll let Ed talk about it, is the business registry piece of it. So Ed, did you want to address that?
So another system that we have that needs to be replaced is our tax and licensing system. It is very old. It was built on platforms that are no longer supported by Microsoft. So we've been looking for a replacement for the system for some time. However, with the tax simplification initiative at the state level, we've been holding off to see how that's going to impact us. And in essence, what that's going to do is it's going to strip all the tax, both the licensing and the processing, the monthly processing, off and move it to the state. So we're left with this component of what to do with our licensing, our massage licenses, pawn shop, and all those specialty licenses. And we've been continuing to have conversations as well about how to get more information, more business information, because as we move towards the simplification, we will not be able to take the business information that we're getting from the state and share it with our partners, even in economic development, the Chamber of Commerce, Visit Mesa. Because that's confidential tax information, we won't be able to share it. So by pulling this project in with Christine's project, as a business comes to talk to the city about what they want to do, a new business they want to open, an existing business or a business they want to expand, we will be collecting common information, and then we will be asking them a series of questions. What kind of business are you looking to open? And it'll go through, you know, are you opening a massage establishment, secondhand shop? And at the end, and we're also bringing into the system the PD alarms registration, as well as the fire safety occupational permits. So as we bring all these pieces of information together, we think we're going to get a really good insight into what businesses are out in the community. We'll be a citizen as they are a business owner as they come to us. They'll be going through common questions. They won't have to go to four or five different locations. Christine and her group will be sharing this information with us as we do today to issue a license today. We go and look what kind of building permits they have or zoning they have. So this will all be integrated. So this was a really great opportunity for a twofer to deal with two systems that really needed to be replaced. But I think in the end, with the online offerings and the other opportunities, we're really going to be enhancing the customer service experience. And we'll be back with you later in 2015 after we actually get into the system and learn it a little bit to give you some more insight into what opportunities we're going to be offering to the business community and the citizens.
Thank you. Mr. Luna.
I think this is great. It's a great idea. It puts us up, you know, it certainly makes us a lot more innovative in terms of how we treat our customers. So I appreciate that you're doing that. What about hardware requirements? I know it's a cloud-based system, so we're not reliant on our own internal servers. But in terms of hardware, do you have capacity for monitors? When you look at plans, are they large enough so that we're not working off iPads, but you're working off a big monitor so you can see the entire thing? Where are we with that?
Yeah, that's one piece that we're currently exploring. I'd like to emphasize that this is just the contract, so this is going to take us 12 months to implement it, maximum. Right, Clint? 12 months.
Yes, ma'am.
we are actually experimenting with different size monitors. There's a number of cities that have already implemented e-plan review. This is probably way too big for a regular office. This is too small. So we're actually going to bring in several different types of monitors. That's really all the hardware that's going to be necessary. This has been a collaborative effort with information technology. I know Diane's here. But as far as I know, the other hardware servers, we will not have to purchase any longer. Acela is the vendor. They'll be maintaining the servers. So it's really just the monitors are the primary hardware piece of it. And that'll come later.
Mr. Finner.
How about the potential for self-certification someday, you know, down that road? Have you looked at how this could be applied and the possibilities?
Yes, sir, we have. We are in the process of putting together a self-certification program. We are currently working with a small group of stakeholders that work with us to review all of the documents, and that's actually going to be very consistent with the Phoenix program, and we'll be rolling that out very quickly. That's a totally separate effort, but certainly the new automation process will help with that.
Just a spoiler alert, we'll be talking about self-certification at the State of the City on the 3rd of February. And Christine and I have met a couple of times on this, and this is, as she mentioned, a part of the just overall streamlining of the permitting process that I think we're all, that the staff has been working on for many months, but we're going to highlight that at the State of the City here in a few weeks. Mr. Richens, yes.
Yes. It sounds a lot like a business license, the business registry. I mean, are we finally going to have the courage to actually call it one? I mean, most places I've ever done business require a business license. I think a lot of folks who come to the city to do business here expect that their first stop is to get a business license. I mean, it's a pretty common practice across the entire nation. So just kind of curious what the thinking is.
So Mayor and Council, as Ed and I've talked with his staff, what we've really discussed is by creating this single portal where businesses that are doing, and it Ed listed off any variety. Today, when they come get an alarm permit or when they get the fire safety occupancy from fire or other varieties, they're going to different software. They're going to sometimes different staff. We're trying to consolidate that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of all that information is collected in different areas. So when we talk about a business registry, a lot of that information is already being collected by the city today for a variety, the majority, not all, but many of the businesses in Mesa now. So the first, what we would like to do first is by creating this single portal and requiring anyone who's coming and making an application, whether it's through development services or getting a sales tax license, whatever, they're going to be required to put all the information that we would collect anyway as part of a business registry. But because they're coming to that portal, we'll capture that on the front end. And then once they put that information, we can tell them, well, if you want an alarm permit or a fire occupancy permit. So it allows us, in effect, to create the business registry. Now, what we need to do is set that up first, I believe, get that set up, and then we can determine what other businesses maybe were missing, and then maybe come back to council and say, okay, we have the ability to collect the information. If we cut up a registry today, we'd have to go create a get a software package like this, you know, to be able to collect it. So I think we're headed in a path where we can call it a business registry, or just say, really, anytime you're doing transaction with the city, we're going to know about the business, we're going to know the type of business, where you're located, the number of employees you have, locations like that. So I think we're going to be effectively collecting that same information without necessarily having to have a specific registry initially, but we can always then come back to council and say, okay, we've already covered 75% of the businesses that are doing that are here anyway, just because they have to get these other permits and licenses. And if we're interested in collecting the other 25%, I'm just making these numbers up, I don't know what they break down to, then we could come and say, now do we want to have a requirement for the others to come, even if they aren't necessarily doing business with the city, to register with the city, and we could have that conversation too. But I think this is a big step in that direction.
Yeah,
to collect the information that we would otherwise have for business registry.
I mean, I've always envisioned, and it sounds a little bit like this is where we're headed, that, you know, businesses that wanted to do business in our city would go to a single portal, and it'd be a very TurboTax-like experience.
There you go.
Yep. It walks you through, and at the end it spits out your alarm permit, your liquor license, your tax license, and all those kind of things at the end. Just makes it very simple.
And this project is actually going to allow them to also work with Christine's shop to see what they need to open, or what permits or processes they need to go through for Christine to open as well.
Yeah, that'd be nice to put a little layer of objectivity into it. Sometimes some of those requirements sound a tad subjective from time to time.
We pride ourselves on our objectivity, sir.
Well, put a little more pride into it then.
That roller coaster is just all up and down for you, isn't it, Christine? Yeah.
We're very excited about this. Again, I do want to emphasize this is a 12-month implementation process. It's very much a collaborative effort between a lot of departments. ITD is going to have to do a lot of the really heavy lifting, but we will provide the objectivity.
Thank you. Yeah, really, congratulations. This is a great story for the city. We appreciate the hard work that's gone into this.
Great. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. Okay, that was agenda item 4K, which again I assume is okay to leave on the consent agenda now that we're a little more up to date on that. On to page 8. Having to do with the Val Vista Water Transmission Plan Project and Solid Waste Information System. Yes, I'm very familiar with the Val Vista Water Treatment Plan Project. That's why I have a four-wheel drive vehicle. I'm sure many it's, out there feel my
and it's
going
to get closer to your house, too,
that's
on
right.
this next phase.
Page 9.
5B.
5B. I know we have a staff presentation. Council, anything other than, are we ready to hear about 5B? Okay, then yes, please let us know more about approving and authorizing the city manager to enter into a transportation project advance agreement. I'm sorry, I started reading this. With Valley Metro Rail, Inc., Maricopa Association of Governments, and the City of Phoenix for funding of design, right-of-way construction, and vehicle acquisition for the Gilbert Road Light Rail Extension using transportation project advancement notes, TPANs.
Yeah, like the description is, it's very wordy, and light rail has a whole village that comes to build it, so we don't do anything streamlined. Good morning, Mayor and Council. My name is Jody Sorrell, and I'm the Transit Director for the city. With me up here is Mike Kennington, the city CFO, Sarah Smith, outside counsel from Guest Rosenfeld, and Larry Givens, our financial advisor from Wedbush. We began, as I was preparing for the presentation today, and I was thinking, we seem like we've been talking about Gilbert Road Extension for a very long time. And when you look at the background slide, it's been 5 years, and we're to the financing stage. These projects take a long time to put together, but in 2009, Council, when we were working on planning for the Central Mesa Extension, Council made extending light rail on Main Street to Mesa Drive a priority. That made a more logical terminus than Mesa Drive for light rail for the longer term. During that time, we've done a lot of the planning work, and last year we hit a very significant milestone by getting the finding of no significant impact in our environmental study from the FTA. One of the reasons why Gilbert Road, this shows the different reasons why Gilbert Road is a priority, but some of the bigger ones are Gilbert Road is a direct connect to both the 60 and the 202, so it provides that easy access from the freeway. And Gilbert Road makes a more, as I said, a more logical terminus for the long term for a light rail project. Currently, we've spent the last year or so after the FONSI going through some of the preliminary engineering. We've got the preliminary engineering finished, and we are ready to start procurement of a final designer for the project and construction manager at risk, so to hit that next milestone for the project. About 2 years ago, we came to council and recommended a financing scenario called Transportation Project Advancement Notes. This is a very similar financing scenario that the city's used very successfully in the past to advance freeway projects. Most recently, we just did that on the SR-24 down off the 202. The concept is Mesa would retire the notes by federal funding we would get for the repurposed transportation projects that we've done. We repurposed about 16 transportation projects, street projects, that when we put them in the regional transportation plan, they made sense at that time. And over years, things change, and they don't make as much sense now as they did 12 years ago. And then Mesa's local match will be, we have a 5.7% local match on this, and it'll be existing transportation resources will be used for that. So the agreement that we're asking you to allow the city manager to enter into really provides the terms for these advancement notes. It's a four-party agreement. It's not a simple agreement. It took us 2.5 years to develop the agreement. It's an agreement between Valley Metro, the City of Phoenix, and MAG and Mesa. We're asking for approval in December, and then the other parties will approve it very early in 2015 so that we can get the agreement in place so that we can start the next leg, which is putting the legwork together for issuing the TPANs. And we will come back to council and ask your approval to issue them before we go ahead and do that. As I said, the IGA identifies the administrative responsibilities. Metro will do the construction and design. Phoenix is the designated grant recipient in the Valley for transit funds. So that's why they're involved in the agreement. MAG will help us in assisting and flexing us the street funds into transit. And then Mesa will do work with the agencies and acquire the real estate needed for the project. It establishes the financing for the project. And probably one of the a key element to that is it gives us control over the expenditures. So every year as Metro, it's just not a big pot of money that we can draw out of. Every year during the budget process, Valley Metro will submit a requisition for funds to the city. And then we will wire that amount into their account. So it's very much a budget year. They'll put together their budget for what they need and then we'll approve it. The estimated project cost is about $162 million. That's comprehensive of everything. It includes right-of-way, construction, design, the light rail vehicles that we need to purchase for the project, and interest expense. The revenues that we have from the repurposed projects and our local match are about $165 million. So we have about $3 million left remaining. In the meantime, MAG has been advancing us some of the money that we repurposed from projects a little bit every year. They've repurposed $5.4 million, and if you add our local match of $300,000 in that, it's about $5.7 million total. And all of those advances help because it reduces the amount that we need to finance, and it will ultimately reduce our interest costs. So Larry's reviewed the cash flow. He's looked at the financing for the project. We're proposing issuing about $140 million in TPANs. That's our estimate based on the information we have right now with very preliminary design. So as we go through this, we'll get a better feel for that. We could issue less, like as MAG continues to advance his funds. If that happens, if they have the funds available to advance us, that will also reduce our costs that we need to pay. We're expecting to issue the TPANs in two series. The first series will be we plan on issuing in the summer fall of 2015, and that will be to help pay for the design, get the final design, vehicles, right away, that initial stuff. And then the second issuance will be about a year later, and it will be for the actual construction of the project. The total interest expense for the project is estimated right now to be about just under $15 million. So the next steps we have is to authorize the city manager enter into the agreement. We'll complete the project development phase. We'll issue the first series of TPANs. In the next year, we'll get the guaranteed maximum price from the construction manager. And then in July of 2016, we'll issue the second series of TPANs. So if we're here to answer any questions you may have. This is
great. Thank you. We've been looking forward to the extension of the light rail past Mesa Drive. And I know there's been a few challenges along the way that are being resolved in terms of legal challenges that we'll discuss maybe at another meeting later. But so this is exciting to see we're on the verge of actually pulling the trigger to make the next leap. Yes, Mr. Richens.
I just wanted to compliment the crew that worked on this to get this was really creatively done. It took priorities that were established in Prop 400. What year was that?
2004.
And as the cities changed, we were able to figure out ways to adapt to meet new demands and new needs in the city. And it was not an easy process to get it to this point. Was an impressive feat. A lot of folks that were involved, and so I just wanted to compliment you guys on the work that you did to get to this point. I'd love to see if there indeed is $3 million in slush and the balancing of those
two
accounts. Yeah, that's
down.
Why I'm like caveating everything. I'd love to see additional street improvements and the enhancing the pedestrian experience and really set the tables for quality development to follow on the light rail investment. So. Thanks.
Mr. Cavanaugh.
Thank you. I'd like to add my commendation as well. This really is continues a long history of creative and innovative financing for transportation projects. I see Mr. Jeff Martin in the audience. When Mayor Giles and I came onto council in 1996, we were told the 202 would not be complete until 2014. And Mesa staff really led the way in working with the legislature in the Valley and creating this idea of advancement notes. And I think it's really proved very much to be to the advantage of the region and the city. And of course, I'm glad I knew the court ruling would uphold what you wanted to do. And so I was very pleased to read that in the Tribune this morning. So again, congratulations on a job well done.
Thank you, Mr. Cavanaugh. Mr. Finter.
Yes.
My two cents. When we talk about repurposing projects, I caught some criticism about being supportive of what we were going to do with these funds, and people don't realize one of those projects that was 12 years ago was the concept of putting a kind of an expressway through the Higley Road all the way. That would have been devastating to the area in my mind. The takings of personal property would have been massive, the disruption to businesses. So when they brought that decision process to me and had my opportunity to weigh in, it kind of met a no-brainer kind of approach. I thought this was a smarter way to do it. You know, there's pieces I don't always agree with, you know, costs and concerns. But when posed with that question or decision to make, I thought it was a better decision to go this route. And as Councilmember Cavanaugh mentions, a long history of successful use of TPANs or whatever we were calling them before, that you know, for the 202 and HPANs, and then now the TPANs, and this is a power given to us by the legislature, you know, working with them to be able to accomplish these goals, and that's a very conservative legislature that's allowed us to do it. So that is why I'm supporting and progressing, and we're seeing a lot of success. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Thank you. Well, again, let me just add my congratulations to city staff for the masterful way that you've cobbled together several different great ideas to fund. It's just think how unusual it is for a city to get 2 miles of light rail and pay 5.7% of the cost of that. By the time we have the Prop 400 money that is being repurposed in a more relevant way, and you know, so the regional funding and the federal funding, and we get the benefit of that with such a minor city contribution is really remarkable. So kudos to staff for figuring that out. Also, I think it's just a great idea that we're getting the light rail out to Gilbert Road. That's, I think, where we will connect the light rail to where people, a bulk of our population lives. And there will be a large park and ride facility there. And this is how, really, a lot of people that to this point have been, it just hasn't been convenient for them to connect to the light rail. This will make it really a daily part of their lives. So I think we'll see ridership really take a spike up once we connect to Gilbert Road and the residences that are out there. So it's just a win-win-win for lots of reasons. So thank you for your hard work.
Mayor, if I may, I'd just like to reiterate, thank for the comments. It really was a very much a team effort, not just by city staff, but by Phoenix Public Transit staff, Valley Metro staff, MAG staff. Their staff, they had to have a large number of staff that participated in all these meetings to get to an agreement that all four entities, which four entities all agreeing to an agreement is a feat in itself, but they gave a whole lot of time on their end to make this happen. And this is the first TPAN agreement, first TPAN funded project that we're going to be doing. So everybody put a lot of effort into it. In addition, the FTA has been very supportive of this project. It's not a typical grant funded project that they normally do. So they've been very flexible and in working with us and kind of going with the financing, and we appreciate all of that support.
Okay, thank you very much. So that, again, that item will stay on the consent agenda. Hopefully the public has learned through this study session that the things that they need to know to satisfy their curiosity about that. Next item on the agenda, and I know we have a staff presentation on this also, is agenda item 5D, approving and authorizing the city manager to enter into the amended and restated Joint Powers Airport Authority Agreement with the Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport Authority and the town of Queen Creek and a bunch of other towns. To officially recharacterize the members' loans to the PMGAA. Is that what we're calling it, really? The
yes,
PMGAA?
Sir.
Okay. Also known as Gateway Airport. As cumulative appropriations. Thank you. Jane, good to see you here.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. I am here in support of Mr. Rigby.
Wow.
Thank you.
I will be his assistant for the day.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I should have immediately gone to Mr. Rigby. And it's also good to have you here, Scott.
Thanks, Mayor. So,
tell us what we need.
Nothing really changes up here for me, does it?
Yeah.
We're, just as Jane talked about and what you mentioned, Mayor, we're here after a lengthy process of studying this issue, but we want to take a step back and talk a little about Gateway and where we've been and where we're going. It's just been a little over 20 years since the former Williams Air Force Base closed. Back in 1993, and multiple communities came forward at that time to form this Joint Powers Authority that helped move it from an Air Force base to really economic engine it is today. Today, we consist of six communities, Mesa, Phoenix, Gilbert, Queen Creek, Apache Junction, the Gila River Indian Community, all are partners with the authority. And jointly, they govern, invest, and guide Jane and her team as they move this airport forward. Each of them invest at various levels. We'll talk a little about our investment over the past few years. But just something to remember, back in 1993, there were 3,800 jobs out there at the Air Force Base, directly and indirectly supporting the Air Force and their operations. Annually, that was about $300 million impact to the region. There was great concern when it closed, what would happen, how would we reuse this opportunity, how would we bring jobs back to the area. And since that time, in 2010, with the efforts that have gone in for that period between 1993 and 2010, we had ASU conduct a study. At that time, we found that we had 4,000 jobs, both directly and indirectly, going on in and around the airport, to the tune of $685 million regionally impacting the area. And that brought in 212,000 new visitors to the valley, including our community, to serve at our to stay at go to restaurants, hotels, other activities, spring training. We often call our second Christmas here. We found a huge contingent of the Midwest supporting the Cubs and all that coming out here. We had 44 on-airport employees. Just recently, with our current growth over the last, we decided to go out and do it again. That ASU impact and the increase has been dramatic. Since 2010 to 2014, we went from 4,000 jobs to a little over 10,000, from $685 to $1.3 billion to the state and to the region and to the city. That brings close to 450,000 new visitors to our Valley hotels in City Mesa. 51 airport employees such as Able Engineering and Embraer and Cessna and Allegiant and others, too numerous to mention. One of the things we want to start, we looked back in 2008, we started a master plan, airport master plan effort. You see this pretty picture with all many different colors. Essentially what those colors mean is further capital investment is necessary either from public sector, meaning the airport authority or member agencies, or private development. And since that time, 2008, and just recently was Jane coming on board in the last year and a half, is to look at financially the strength of the airport and how do we allow it to move forward and somewhat be able to start standing on its own and moving forward in that effort. So in that effort, just go back, Mesa contributes $1.7 million annually to the airport authority. Cumulatively, the member agencies contribute, what is that number?
About $120 million. About principal and interest.
Interest, but annually they contribute the member agencies.
A little over $4
million. And that goes for both operational and capital. As they move to more getting in the black, a lot of those dollars, that member contributions, will go to capital versus operation. I think last year was the first year. This year we're on track to be in the black for operations, and so a lot of those dollars will go to capital. Again, over the last 20 years, the six member agencies have contributed a little over $120 million out to the airport to see it grow and succeed. Currently, the airport characterizes as
Scott,
loans.
Scott, I think Mr. Kavanaugh has a question for you.
And to that point, the council report has a different figure, has $132 million,
yes,
and the presentation $120. So I'm trying to understand the difference between the two. And I'm also interested in what the total amount is that Mesa has contributed through years, because 1.7 is below what Mesa used to contribute before Phoenix became a part of the agreement. So can you give me that information?
First one, Mayor, Council Member, that's my incorrection. It should be 122 versus 132. The correct number is 122. So on the total cumulative, I think Jane has the number for the City of Mesa. I think it's just about $75 million for total contributions. That's P&I over that period of time. Thanks for catching that. So the reality is those loans currently have different maturity dates. The first of those hits in 2020. Obviously, as we look forward to the financial health of the airport, we want them to see down the road opportunity to stand on their own and start issuing additional financing on their own, such as bonds and other methods of funding those capital improvements. Obviously, as we've met with auditors over the last few years, they've identified this is an item to be addressed. How does an airport authority move forward with up to $120 million on their books showing as loans or with the upcoming maturity dates? With those type of numbers, and how do you move forward doing airport funding down the line? How do you resolve that? So we've been working with Gateway staff and all the city staffs who are member agencies to work on resolving this. And over the time, we had Michael Kennington from the city working with that team, and Chris Brady, the city manager, been working on that as well. How do we characterize those loans in a proper way to gain comfort with the auditors and creditors so down the line they're ready to go out and be able to issue airport financing. So in September, I think current mayor back then, Finter, heard this discussion, and then back in October, Mayor Giles, who sits on the board, listened to a presentation recommendation from the airport authority to recommend to each of the member agencies to recharacterize those loans as to first cancel those existing loan contributions, and then second, recharacterize those loans as member contributions. And essentially, without allow that those changes with this amended and restated airport authority agreement, it would essentially allow the airport authority down the line then be able to stand stronger in the financial markets. So today we're here to recommend that the City of Mesa City Council approve the restated and amended joint powers authority to allow that to go forward.
Thank you. I believe Mr. Kavanaugh has a question.
Thank you, and I understand the proposal and obviously the reasons behind it. I have a philosophical question though, and that I'm struggling with tremendously, because since 1994, countless mayors and council members, certainly in Mesa, have consistently told the public that the appropriations, the annual appropriations to Gateway, were loans. Yeah, it's in the red. It's going to be in the red for a long time, but ultimately those are going to be paid back. And so what do you say to all those prior council members about what they told the public, what they promised the public? Because basically you're taking those promises and poof, turning them into dust, because basically Mesa would be forgiving a $75 million loan. And I'm just having some philosophical struggles with it, because I'm one of those throughout four terms who have told people yes, we are investing in Gateway, but we're doing it as a loan, and ultimately the city expects to have the loans repaid back. So what do you – I need some help here.
No, go
ahead. To get me where I can vote for this.
It's the Mayor, Councilman Kavanaugh, it's a great question that we've been working with. So here's the reality. The reality is, as Mr. Rigby was just mentioning, the airport just in the last year or so has finally reached operating self-sufficiency. So is it 2020? When on the books of the airport, which has been carrying this as a liability as a loan, the city has not. The city has shown this as an expenditure.
But that's not what...
No, no, I understand. So we could, in theory, if we didn't make this change, the obligation would be for the airport then to make a payment, which, you know, some mornings when I come to work sounds like a great idea, of $75 million. I would be a very happy city manager if I had $75 million. But what that reality would mean is we would have to sell the airport and all its assets. There is not $75 million in cash or some kind of liquid asset that we could convert without literally selling the assets, the land, and the of the airport. And I don't know who you would sell it to, but in order to convert, but then they would. Where would they get the $75 million? No. Well, they have a. The only reason the airport today has been able to issue the note to support Able Engineering is because the city of Mesa stood behind that contribution with its $1.7 million contribution.
Well, right, and I thought the point of that was to help them build a credit rating to be able to have some fiscal
solvency.
And there's no loan that gets, I mean, we're not going to call the entire loan at once. I mean, is there a way to set up some kind of cash flow stream that comes back the other way, like Mr. Kavanaugh is suggesting? Sorry for speaking out of order.
Yeah, you would just be pushing it further and further out into the future. And for the airport then, and I don't know if Larry Gibbons still here, but if to look at the credit of that airport, for them to go issue notes, knowing that they had this obligation, $132 million sitting out there, that as of today, they have no existing cash flow that's going to draw that down. As a matter of fact, what would continue to happen is that dollar amount would continue to accumulate, because at this point, unless we stopped all capital projects and did no more capital projects and just lived off of operations, which is just breaking even, there's not dollars being put aside, of dollars generating at the airport to make this payment at any point in the future.
I'm going to push back a little bit on, it's kind of a dire structured vision that you're building here. And I mean, you know, Mr. Kavanaugh makes a very compelling point that we've been very generous in getting that airport off the ground. And there's creative ways I think we can get to this. It's not just all or nothing. It's not just, you know, we got to sell everything to repay loans. And you know, I understand that you wouldn't want to have debt obligation on the airport like that. It would cause additional challenges for him. But certainly there's a way that, you know, that the benefactor of this airport and what we've told the public for many years, there's a way to creatively structure. If we can figure out T-PANs, we can figure out this.
Well, we've been trying for months. Mm-hmm. And there is, without the airport generating cash above and beyond its current needs, there would be, without selling assets, there is nowhere to put reserves. And when we look at the needs of the airport going out into the future, there is continue to be great demand. It'll be continue to be great demands going to the east side for expansion,
sure,
and investment. So there's, from a financial modeling standpoint, there is not a set aside to making payments towards this liability that's sitting out there of $132 million, and which will continue to grow. That's what it is today. Each and every year, that number will continue to grow, because today there, the priority of the authority has been to continue to invest in the airport, whether it's on the operations side or the capital side. So there isn't a part, even part of the current financial model that I've seen in any 5 or 10 year forecast, shows any dollars being set aside to recognize this liability. Now, what it does for Mesa is this, and this is how I've had to kind of turn around and look at it, is we have invested in this airport and kept it sustainable and viable, and it is now returning to us significant dollars. It's not in the cash of our loan, but it is generating jobs. And we are, Able Engineering has created 450 jobs. They're in the office. They're in today asking for to expand. We're in discussions with significant other clients who would possibly bring additional jobs. We have created, I guess, if you want to value jobs and investment, as Mr. Rigby was pointing at the beginning, while we haven't got the return, if you would, in dollars back, we have certainly got the dollars back in jobs and capital investment, and it continues to give back. So I think as we look at $1.7 million that we contribute to the airport each year, we're seeing the momentum pick up, and we're getting significant interest. Mayor was in meetings yesterday with potential partners and international groups that are now looking at our airport as an opportunity to come together with us to join and continue to grow the airport. So I think we have to look at this as an investor would, but not in necessarily getting cash back, but from the community's benefit and what this is becoming a significant economic hub. I think we could say, and I know, and I agree with Mr. Kavanaugh, when I first came here, I heard the same thing, and I was scratching my head saying, that sounds interesting. I've never heard that before. But I think if the community wants to say, what have we gotten back? I think it's been a great investment, and I think we've only seen the beginning of a significant return that will come to Mesa. Now, the other thing that's in this recharacterization is that Mesa maintains its majority position as far as being in a position to direct or take a position in its favor. I don't know how am I saying it. Weighted vote majority.
Yeah.
We only need one other member to allow us to, to kind of dictate the decisions out there. Now, we're not losing a ground, I guess I should say. We're treating our position just like we do, and we're with Metro, with Phoenix, and they're the major contributor. So I think for our long-term investment and what the return has been back to the city, I think we've gotten quite a bit back today, and I think we're just beginning to see some significant opportunities. So, no, the loan's not going to get paid back in cash. Even if we sat here today and refused to make these changes, it would only mean that the airport would lose complete ability to refinance. Even if it refinanced the loan that was out there, it would just still be on their books, and the auditors and anybody who's looking to for them to issue debt would see that. They'd have to be disclosed.
What's the impetus today to make this change?
Because they're getting into the windows. Their auditors are saying that on the books, when they start within the 5-year window, is that right, Jane? Yep. When they start seeing this first payment of
about $80 million. $80 million. So we're in that window.
They're essentially going to have books that are going to say they're insolvent, and it's going to be a material disclosure on the audit books beginning next year if this isn't addressed today. And the auditors will have to note that there is the material, is that the right? Is it? I think
they
changed the term.
Yeah, they changed the name, so I don't know.
It used to be called a material finding. And so in reading that, and any investor will look at that and say, wow, this airport's got a payment due, and there's no plan today to make a payment on that, nor, and in addition, that number will continue to grow. So we recognize we had to change the way we were characterizing this.
Mayor, I'm feeling a little unprepared to act on this at this council meeting. I'm wondering if, I mean, this is the first we've seen, and maybe we should bring it to Audit and Finance, my favorite committee, to take a little bit deeper dive into it. I know this is probably not the situation to do so. What's our timing as far as next audit round, next?
So the other community, the board has taken action, and so all the communities are going around and getting it. So I think we'd like to get it done, you know, probably the first part of the year, no later than January time frame. Jane, would you be okay with that?
Yeah, we have, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, three of the six communities have voted in support of the board's, the Airport Authority Board's recommendation. The other three cities, Mesa, Gilbert, and Queen Creek, are either scheduled or planning to make their consideration of that recommendation in the next 2 weeks. If I may, Mr. Mayor,
please,
you know, first of all, just I wanted to have the chance to say thank you as well. I mean, this investment that you have done as the legacy city has, without any question, has been the reason this airport is successful. And I asked Scott to re-put up the colored picture. I mean, what I see in this is jobs. I have not been in front of you for a while, and we're in the middle of the environmental process to unleash the east side for our ability to develop that 700 acres. So we're on track to have that FONSI, finding a no significant impact, in June. So the other thing that I am advising the city managers and would advise you as you consider this is we are on that cycle for being able to unleash the east side. So the environmental approval of the FONSI coming in the next calendar year and being able to position the airport to be essentially negotiating and working with the private sector as well as our aviation partners to develop the east side. This $120 million that is on our books now is a huge financial burden. And I support any further discussion. I don't have any problem with your schedule and your need for further information. The additional impetus is this $120 million on our books today. And we have companies looking to invest with us for next 50 years, maybe more. And so this is part of the disclosure that we would need to do, and that is immediate. As the city manager noted, we're in discussions with a variety of firms that are looking at investing in the airport, and their investment is long-term. So their investment is looking at a 50-plus year. So my recommendation to you is to get all the information you need, because this is part of the building blocks for us to be able to seriously get the developers looking at us and being able to make that investment with an authority that has that kind of financial background. So thank you.
I know Mr. Finter has a question.
Yes, I know we don't want to get down in the weeds of it. So say this is accomplished, the goal that staff has put forward to today, that $1 billion of future infrastructure that's needed on the east side that you're referring to now, will that put you on stable legs for you to be able to bond it and you be able to do it? Or is there another $100 million of Mesa investment that's going to be coming to accomplish the goals on the east side?
Mayor Giles and members of the council, this is not the key that unleashes, this is not the single key that unleashes our development potential. It is one of the series of things that we need to do to position the airport for, as Mr. Rigby noted, private development is certainly an important aspect of our future planning. We are working carefully with our partners at the FAA and the State Transportation Department, which also provides grants, and then looking at bringing additional aviation-related users. So this is the foundational piece that, with all of our financial staff looking at it from all six cities and agencies, from all six plus attorneys, this is the starting point that really is the foundation. So, and then we build from there on the development plans for financing.
So if I may, Mayor, Mr. Fincher, may try to answer that question, is the answer to that is if we don't make this change, absolutely impossible for the airport to issue its own bonds. If we make this change, I still think it's going to be very difficult for them. They would have to show a huge generation of revenue to pay back those bonds. I think for the long term, just I think the city, if City of Mesa wants the airport to grow and be successful, we're going to be providing significant amount of financing and infrastructure. And so we've got to figure out as we make those commitments is how does that help the City of Mesa generate business activity, property value increases, and new revenues to help us to justify that. So I think that's going to be something we'll have to continue to study going into the future. But as I look at the finances of the airport and look at the cost of capital to build out infrastructure, anticipating growth in the future, this is not something that's going to realize itself as a return to the city in a short term. This is a long-term investment if the City of Mesa wants to continue the airport growth.
Okay. Let me weigh in just a tad as well. I have had the opportunity to serve on in the almost 3 months term of as mayor, serve on the airport board, and so I was introduced to this issue a couple of months ago as well, and have become very comfortable with it. To me, the airport, it seems like a great analogy to birthing and nurturing a child. I would love to go to my four adult children and say, all that money I spent on you was a loan. Can I please have it back now? That would be great. trust me. But what we're doing is we're birthing really a beautiful. This is one of the more attractive children that the City of Mesa has birthed. It's got huge potential, as we all know. We've got 1,000 acres of developable property out there, and given the tax incentives available to, you know, former military bases out there, it's going to continue to be a shining star for our city. We need to do what we need to do to go through the accounting processes that will allow it to develop its own credit rating and to be able to go forward without the additional backstop that the city has traditionally provided. So as I understand, the City of Mesa has not been one of the communities that has booked this as a loan. So to me, it doesn't seem like a huge I understand that politically, we've been justifying this as an investment to the community that was going to pay dividends, and I don't think that story is changing. I think we say this is an accounting change to help the airport have financial credit and sustainability going forward. We are going to reap a huge financial benefit from the ongoing development out at the airport, and I'm comfortable, but I've had the benefit of sitting through a few meetings on this that I think some of the other council members haven't. So I absolutely have no qualms about taking it off the agenda, putting it in a subcommittee, making sure that we talk through from top to bottom all the numbers involved here and make sure everyone's very comfortable with it. I've had some introduction to that, and I'm already there personally. Mr. Cavanaugh.
Thank you. I think Mr. Brady and Ms. Morris have made pretty compelling arguments in terms of the return on the investment. It's just it is a philosophical challenge for those who have made promises. And I think it's and even at that time, I was one of those council members who was skeptical. It's like, we're never going to get that money paid back as a loan. But, you know, that was what city staff dutifully and loyally told us year after year after year, decade after decade. And you know there are people with long memories in the community, and so there is going to be a certain expense of trust that is lost. We may not be really writing off a loan. We're not writing off a bad debt, but there's a little bit of element of trust that will be lost with making this change. And so that's just something that we have to live with. I've really always viewed this as an investment and really more like a stock purchase every year that we have made. And long-term, well, both short-term and long-term, I think the city reaps a lot of benefits. It is helpful to make sure that people understand the level of commitment. It's a lot easier for some of our other partners to forgive a relatively small amount of investment that they paid over a shorter period of time. And so that's why I asked, what did we actually totally pay? Because I knew it was a high figure. But I think you've made a good argument on the reasoning behind this, and certainly would welcome any additional information, or it may have been helpful just to individually brief those who haven't been part of the process. Thank you, Mayor.
And Mayor, just real quickly, of the 100 and what's our number now?
122.
16, 17 million of that. We've also been very aggressive in putting, including in there, for example, when the Able Engineering hangar cost is in there also. So it's not always the dollar contributions from the city. We've also used, when we've been able to leverage an improvement or capital improvement, to include that, because we were always wanting to make sure Mesa was getting full credit for whatever was leveraging out there. I mean, not that it brings it down, though it's workable, but part of that is just also our efforts, because we were always trying to make that number recognize our efforts and contributions, whether it's literal cash or the ability to leverage capital investment out there, whether it's, and I can't remember if there was any other items, Sossaman or anything else was included in there, but we've tried to be very aggressive about making sure the airport and our partners acknowledged Mesa's contributions for the facilities out there. So thank you. And we'll be glad to provide individual briefings or show up at a committee, subcommittee meeting, whatever works for council.
It's kind of unfortunate Mr. Summers isn't here, because I know he's very passionate about the airport. He'd have a lot to say. I wish we had the benefit of his opinion on this.
He, incidentally, is on the Audit and Finance Committee. As you laid out that wonderfully corny analogy, briefly, the countenance of Scott Smith fell upon you.
Wow,
that's scary. Because he was really corny a lot of times,
thank
too.
You very much.
But I understand that this is a long-term play. I get that. And if the impetus of this is simply an accounting issue with it showing up on audits, you know, one of the things I want to explore in audit, you know, maybe it's something we want to, you know, maybe we push off this 2020 call to 2030 or 2040 or 2050. You know, we get in alignment with some of these other, you know, and I know we don't book it as a loan, but I just need to understand a little bit better. And there may be alternatives to just taking this.
I don't think any of us want to feel, any council member feel like this, we're acting prematurely on this or without an abundance of information. So, Jane and Scott, if it's not going to be disruptive, if this isn't an urgent item, I'd be, and it sounds like it works.
We'll schedule it early in January.
Okay. Is that all right?
Council members swear in?
12th.
The 12th of January.
So it would be I think Mr. Summers' last council meeting would be the 12th. So yeah. Maybe we could work with the committee prior to that and then bring it back on the 12th?
We'll figure it out.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Mr. Luna.
First of all, I want to tell you that I appreciate the airport. I've been doing some international trips. I just did one recently. And one of the things that I always tout is that we have a great airport in Southeast Mesa. And that's something that they need to look at in terms of investment opportunities. So certainly I understand that this is an investment, and we have to continue to support it, because I do see the potential for jobs and those great opportunities. So certainly would support sending it back to Audit and Finance to look at the financing part of it. But great job. Thank you for all you do at the airport.
Thank you.
Thank you. And again, just to reiterate what Mr. Brady said, we are continually getting very high-level, major player interest out at the airport. This is going to continue to be really the major source of jobs in the city of Mesa for the next generation. So we're proud of what we've accomplished. We're proud of what you've accomplished, and look forward to continuing to reap the benefits.
Thank you.
Thank you, Council.
Okay, so I think what that means is we're taking agenda item 5D off of the off of the agenda for Monday's meeting, and it will be referred to the Finance Subcommittee for additional study. Any other items on page 10 of the agenda? And then page 11 is the last page. If there's nothing else on the formal Monday night meeting agenda, the next item on our agenda for today's study session is agenda item number 2, information pertaining to the current job order contracting project. Is there anything to discuss?
Just if the council has any questions.
No. Okay. Thank you. Hearing none, we'll move on to agenda item 3, here reports on meetings or conferences attended. Council, any reports? Okay. Next item, Mr. Brady, can you help us with scheduling of meetings and general information?
Yes, Mayor, thank you. Just a reminder, Councilmember Kavanaugh will be hosting his free pancake breakfast and holiday toy drive this Saturday, December 6th from 8 to 10 at Fire Station 207 on Dobson Road. And the toys will be collected for, the new toys will be collected for patients at the Cardin Children's Medical Center. Mr. Kavanaugh will be transporting those traditionally by the fire truck over to the hospital, is that correct? Yeah. And also this Saturday is a hazardous waste collection and recycle event at Center Street facility.
Don't bring your toys there.
Yeah, don't bring your toys there. Event hours are from, that. The hours for that are from 8 to noon on Saturday. For you can drop off appliances, electronics, in addition to household hazardous waste materials. Our next council meeting will be Monday, December 8th. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we probably just need to make a pitch that Mr. Kavanaugh, this has been a wonderful holiday tradition for him to take the lead on this holiday toy drive for the Cardin Children's Hospital. So thank you, Dennis, for making us all look good by doing such a, being involved in such a great activity, and we'll be there Saturday to support you.
Well, and just so that other city departments take notice, I heard that the Mesa Police Association is pledging to buy $1,000 worth of toys to bring on Saturday. Not that I'm encouraging anyone to top that, but we certainly want to.
That's right. Yeah. Hopefully, Mr. Brady's microphone was not on for that.
Yeah. We anticipate a good response.
Literally muttered under.
All right. Thank you. Well, yes, we all, the community needs to support this event. The city government certainly does and will, but this is a great event for a great cause. The next item on our agenda is to convene an executive session, so I would entertain a motion for that. Mr. Finter, is there a second? All in favor say aye. Thank you. We will now convene an executive session.